All right, for the record, this is January 11th, 2015. And the music you are listening to is from a CD. The computer has gone and the Raven is on her own here. And I'm afraid this music that you're listening to is gonna be what it is till somebody comes in and gets the computer going again. Someone has been messing with the machine, programming it to cause us delays and problems. And we so wish they would decide to put their intelligence to better use. Remember that line they used to use with the Negro College Fund? They used to say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, I suggest that the applicability of that is way tighter to these folks paid to do mischief, because they were misled early on. And that's the subject of today's show. Means it's time to start. And mentally, I hope you're all hearing our theme music and the words, why do we sell our human energy? Is there another way? Join D-Way and the Raven Sunday mornings at 9. Sunday mornings at 8:30 is when I try to arrive and get the show going by 9. For our new show, Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And today is January 11th, 2015. And belatedly, because I said this off air, happy birthday, Nanj. My grandchild has a birthday today. Thinking of you, sweet. Thinking of you. Always. Sisters and brothers, what we're asking today. All right, well, this is something I don't see in Berkeley. Well, yes, I do now, but I sort of have to mark the course of my life in various, everyone does, segments. But a major one for me is before waking up, writing Waking Up, and after waking up. After writing Waking Up, you will see city operatives doing the darndest things. Well, now we got a City of Oakland garbage truck, which I've never seen before. Didn't know they had their own garbage trucks. And this guy goes over, he's right across the street. He goes over and picks up an empty cardboard box and puts it in the back. And I'm thinking, this is Sunday, okay? You don't pay people double time or triple or whatever it is to go pick up a cardboard box. All right. Let's get focused, Pamela. If you tuned in late, I have been experiencing technical difficulties, the sequence of which I won't bore you with further, but has resulted in the fact that this computer does not restart. I tried attempting to restart because my fill list was gone, and then another fill list was deleted, and my stuff wasn't playing, that I wasn't able to transfer my stuff over to the new fill list, and what a mess. Sisters and brothers, what we're asking today is what we on the left have been pleased to call the class struggle. And what kind of struggle is it when one side doesn't know its opponent, while for the other, its every move must be conscious as it sees itself as being, mind, incarnate? The writings and conversations in this space radio and website have advanced the position that we the people are being intentionally manipulated, managed, moved toward a given future. And if so, the absence of any discussion necessarily means the conscious actors utilize clandestine means. It's time for broad public discussion of this question and what it means, this question, for the quality of the world we live in. Because if it's only the tiny few who shape our common global society, and these tiny few jealously guard their monopoly control of decision making, the fact of that imbalance will continue to build on itself, and dissent will forever be suppressed, because this tiny few will have the will and the means to do it. And we're also asking today, how does power know what dissent is useless, or better yet, protects it, and what dissent threatens it? And it must know this, and this is obvious, in order to successfully, in the first instance, provoke it, and in the second instance, destroy or deflect it. I.e., it must know this, which is which, in order to direct its agents. I've put up before my comment on them some quotes that I hope you had a chance to read. And that when you did, and as we read them today, please consider this. There is a material reality below, which means propaganda must walk a fine line between what it wants us to think by skewing our perception of reality and physical reality itself. For the purposes of our gaining our freedom, the two major considerations are really both manifestations of one thing, energy. As Craig Calhoun says, energy is basic. And I would add, human energy is most basic. So the question to ask ourselves as we read that political theory is it rooted in earth? Is it rooted in 2-year-old smiles, in 3-year-old smiles? And does it let them keep those smiles throughout their lives? That's the world we want. Human energy is basic. So does it come from a clear-minded focus on our relationship with the earth and the centrality of work to whatever society we design for ourselves? Or does it try to overwhelm with difficulties and complexities? We begin the quotes we're considering with an excerpt from the winter 2014 Slingshot article that we first encountered last week, one that I said really disturbed me. Its notion of embracing collapse, particularly. Quote, "We all sense the system is unsustainable. Environmentally and economically. What this means is that the system as it is currently organized is on the verge of being swept away." And my interjection, notice how the passive tone alone immediately connotes no conscious actors. It is just being swept away. Continuing, "The system wants everyone to think that if it collapses, this will bring a period of famine, epidemic, destruction, and suffering. And too many of us willingly buy into this narrative. Doomthink is fashionable, accompanied by resignation and a reorientation to purely..." I'm sorry, it's like... The more I sort of let the words of this piece sink in, you know, the more I sat with them, each sentence becomes more and more insidious. That's not an accident. You don't accomplish this by happenstance, this effect.